As the Spirit of God moves around us, people are drawn to us. In fact, as God moves, the nations are drawn into his presence. Why? Because we want to be where God is. And a number of people last week said to me, these were visitors to the church, said to me, when we walk into this place, before anything started, we can feel the presence of God. And that doesn't surprise me because there is worship in this place every single day. His presence dwells. His glory is here. And so often I'll walk in and he is here because he knows his people worship here. And when you give your life to Jesus, he comes into your life and he dwells. And in the Old Testament, we read a lot about the people would gather around the presence of God. But in the New Testament, when we give our life to Jesus, he comes in to our life. And we become the temple. So this is the house of God, but we are the temple of God. So Jesus says, where two or three gather in my name, there am I right in the midst. That's what we're doing. There's more than two or three, so that means he's right here. Okay, but then Paul writes, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God dwells in your midst? So he has come and made his home in our life. So you are walking temples. You are vessels that carry the presence of God. And one of the things I've learned is that God doesn't do addition. He does multiplication. Okay, so what he doesn't do is say, oh, I'll put a temple in every town. What he does is he fills our lives with his Spirit, so there are temples in every place we are. We are his temple. We are carriers of his presence. So the first book of the New Testament after the Gospels is called Acts of the Apostles. I personally think that's the wrong name because actually it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the story of the Holy Spirit breaking into the church. So if you've got a Bible, find Acts chapter 2, and we're gonna read. Everything becomes clear again. Right. Why don't you stand? We're going to read God's word from Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And if any of you were listening, we were reading this 2 weeks ago, but we're still in this passage. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continually and daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. Take a seat. So today is a really simple message. Okay, and I called it break and bake, and you'll understand why. What is the result of God moving on 3,000 people? What should the result when God moves on us? Well, they gathered in the temple, so they gathered together, and they gathered in homes, we read. They broke bread from house to house. We'll come back to that. They ate together with gladness. People's needs were met. There was a sincerity of heart. Praise and joy were at the center. They had favor with people, and the Lord added to their number daily. And in fact, if we keep reading, and we're going to go through the book of Acts through the summer, 3,000 souls became 5,000 men. So assuming they were families, that's suddenly gone from 3,000 to over 10,000 in a matter of days. That was the result of what was happening in people's lives. Do you know, one of my favorite revivals is the Scottish Outer Hebrides, when God moved in the late 1940s. There was actually two, and 1950s. And one of the hallmarks of that revival was that people would gather like this, and the churches, especially in Lewis, would be full, and they would be worshiping and praising. And often they would come from work straight to worship. But then they would all go home and eat, and they would eat in each other's houses. And actually, the most powerful miracles were recorded in the homes, not in the gatherings. And testimonies of that, where they would be at home eating together and worshiping, and light would literally fill the rooms as the presence of God broke in. The early Methodists would meet daily, and John Wesley instructed them there was three things they had to do. They had to confess their sin, how they'd sinned that week. Just get it out there. They had to confess how they'd been tempted to sin and how they overcame the temptation, and they had to give a penny to the poor. And there was, so, you know, there was this freedom. Because why were they free to confess their sin? Well, because the power of sin is broken. It's all gone. There's no shame anymore. So that people had made some mistakes in the week, the way you get free is to confess. One of the things with the Protestant church is we threw the baby out with the bathwater on confessional. Okay, the Catholics have it right here. That you confess your sin. And so when we confess and we switch the lights on, we bring it out into the open, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we're free again. And off we go. So this was the practice of the early Methodists. You see, one of the outworkings of revival is that the community comes to life. That whatever God is doing, he isn't just doing it here, he's doing it wherever we are. Because we are temples. So wherever we are, his presence is. And so he's working amongst us. And I think one of the interesting verses is verse 46. It says, they ate their food with gladness. Right? I don't know if you mark your Bibles up. Mark it. Right? Underline it. Do you know what? Sometimes it's the very simple things. It's the simple truths of the kingdom that change our lives. And what we see around all the early church was doing was they were thankful and they were praying. There was a gratitude in their hearts because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They kind of exploded out of church and their communities were changed. They left church overflowing with the Holy Spirit. They wanted to be with each other. They liked each other. In fact, I'll go a step further. They loved one another. Do you remember Jesus said, this will be the mark, they'll know you are my disciples, by the way you love one another? They wanted to be with each other. And the way they did that was they ate together with gladness. Now, before we get to food, I want to, Rachel, come on up. Come and tell us a few stories from last weekend because I want to connect a few things in your mind. So last Saturday afternoon, we had Presence and Promise in the morning, and then the afternoon, Rachel took a gang of people out into the city centre to pray for people. Tell them what was happening.
Yeah, it was really fun. So yeah, Presence and Promise, we met at the clock tower in the Leicester City Centre. There was probably about 25, 30 of us. And as we arrived, there was, I don't know if you've been into town on a Saturday afternoon, but there's often other kind of religions like preaching, or there was a Hare Krishna table and some Muslims trying to give out some pamphlets. It was very loud and lots of people shouting and music. And We sort of stood in a circle and we just felt like actually we want to bow down in the city centre. And firstly, just to do that and kill fear, right? Like just to go, no, I'm not going to be nervous. I'm not going to be scared. I'm going to come before the Lord. But secondly, just to invite the presence of God and to claim the ground for Jesus Christ. And as all kind of 25 of us got down on our knees and just started to close our eyes and pray out to the Lord, it was like every other person was kind of silenced. Like all of the music and the ringing and whatever they were doing was just absolutely still, and you could just sense the presence of God, and people were kind of watching on and even filming us, I think. And we just prayed in tongues, and then we said the Lord's Prayer together, and we just set the spiritual atmosphere for our city to be the Lord's.
Yeah,
it's fun.
And then you led some to Jesus.
So we shared the gospel with people. There was a real openness. We got to pray for healing, and we saw 24 people give their life to Jesus as well, which was so cool. And there was such a boldness. Like I think I shared some of the teenagers ran into five guys and shouted, "Jesus loves you." And there was just such fun with it and community. And then we came back together at the end to share stories. And then we just broke out into worship. I mean, I'm not a worship leader, but we all just started singing these loud songs to Jesus, probably for about 15, 20 minutes. And again, just thank the Lord for what he was doing.
Brilliant. Thank you. So Rachel said a couple of words. We knelt in the city centre to break fear and to invite his presence. That as we kneel in the front, in the city centre, of everyone walking by with all the craziness of the other religions, we show reverence to God, but we kneel not being afraid of what people think about us, not being scared if people think we're foolish, because Jesus is more important. Our love for him, and that as we kneel and humble ourselves, the presence of God comes and there is a peace. You know, I loved, I didn't think of a picture, some of the, especially the South American teams kneel to pray. And they were, and I don't know which one this is. There was, I looked at Panama and Honduras. But before they play, they pray. The presence of God. We give honor to the Lord. You know, what would happen? You know, if some of you, you know, we're going to finish church and you're going to go and get lunch, and some of you will be going to places like Five Guys, Five Boys, whatever it's called. All I know is if you can afford a hamburger in that place, you should be thankful. Okay, they're the most expensive hamburgers I've ever had. I went in there with my son, and I said, "Don't worry, son, I'll pay." And I got up to the till, and I can't remember how much it was. All I remember is my deep voice went, "How much?" as I handed over my credit card. Anyway, what if you were, you're all in there after church, and you literally just take each other's hands and pray and thank the Lord for the food and say grace and invite the presence of the Holy Spirit in Five Guys or whatever restaurant you're in. I was reading a thing on Facebook came up. I would show you the picture if I could find it, but you know my gift with social media. But anyway, I noticed it in the week. And a lady was writing how she'd gone into a restaurant and there was a load of guys as she came in. And they were all sitting down and everyone was queuing to get into the restaurant. And they stood up as she came in and said, "Oh, have our seat. We're all waiting, you have a seat." And she said, "Oh, that's really kind of you." Anyway, she happened to be sitting next to them, and they're as they're around the table and they're about to eat, they all joined their hands and prayed and said grace. And she just put it on social media and said, I've not seen young people like this. God is doing something amongst young people. You see, do you remember the pandemic? Do you remember that COVID thing that we went through? And I remember the Sunday before we went into lockdown, we were all here. We were being a little bit naughty because I'm not even sure if we were meant to be, but we were. And we talked about Psalm 91 and how his feathers cover us, and the Lord gives us protection. And so all of the first few months of the pandemic, people, whenever they saw a feather, it was to remind us that the Lord protect us. And no pandemic will harm us. And people were taking pictures and sharing them all around. Well, what if instead of feathers now, we start sharing gladness? We start sharing thankfulness. We start gathering to pray in public places and sharing our thankfulness, breaking the power of fear of man, and inviting the presence of the Holy Spirit wherever we are, so that the atmosphere starts to change. Let me talk to you about cake. Cake is a very important part of life. Is this a trick? No, it's not a trick. Some of you have given your lives to Jesus and you've started baking cake. This is a great thing. Okay, this is a wonderful fruit of the Spirit. Now, you may have been bakers before. Okay, but in this service, you may not know this, but sometimes people are gathering over in that far corner eating cake. Because some of the ladies, I'm assuming it's all ladies because I'm speaking as a man who's never baked a cake in his life, but I know there are some of the guys are great. When have you noticed that ladies bake, men are chefs? Have you noticed where suddenly we become grand when we cook, and it's because it's quite a feat. Anyway, over there, and there is this like black market of cake. And there's chocolate cake, there's coconut cake, and there's toffee cake going around. And I do remember because they were baking cake, and then one of the other ladies who'd become a Christian baked a cake as well. And they, so the first lady who was cooking was a little bit put out. What are you doing baking cake? This is my place. This is where I bake cake. These are my cakes. Now, I don't know if the other person's cake were better. Personally, I think the more cake, the better. Okay, but she was quite put out. This is my place to bake cake. What she didn't realize was the Spirit of God was working in her, and she'd made her first disciple. Because disciples look at what you do, and copy you, and you have a disciple. That's what we're meant to do to Jesus. We're meant to become like him. Now, the reason she's baking and bringing cake, the reason there's an epidemic of cake is because there is gladness and thankfulness for what the Lord is doing in our midst. You see, I think what we're meant to do is, you know, we finish church, revival prayer, youth, students, whatever, school of transformation. And there's this underground mumbling, come back to mine. Come back to mine. I've got cake. Come back to mine. So you go to different people's houses and you gather around the table and there is this overflow of the Holy Spirit and cake. This is biblical. I'm reading it from the Bible. Some of you are going, that's not very spiritual. I'm telling you, Jesus went from house to house eating and sharing meals with people. I don't know how he was as skinny as he was. But that's what, so I actually think this will be good news for some of you. If you eat food with gladness, there are no calories. Okay, I'm not sure where that is in the Bible, but it should be. Okay. So you say, come back to mine. I have cake. So you gather around the table and you're full of the Holy Spirit. But you don't only have cake, you have bread. Do you remember the story that Jesus tells? This is Luke 11. Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. All right, now Bible scholars, just cover your ears for the moment. I know this is about prayer. But why did he know that he could go next door to his friend and get bread? Because his friend was ready. His friend had bread. You need to have bread. It's funny, isn't it? In this day and age, we don't keep bread. Because everything's, we can just go down to the local store. Because you never know when someone's going to come round. And then when they do come round, we break bread together. That was the practice of the early church. Jesus says, do this in, when you are together, do this in remembrance of me. So you pour out of church, full of the Holy Spirit. You've been enticed by cake, which isn't a sin. And you break bread together around the table. And so you take the bread and you break it. This is the body of Jesus Christ broken for me. You know, you pass the cup around. This is his blood. And you celebrate with gladness together. And in the Outer Hebrides, as they did that, heaven opened up again. And they were back into the glory that they'd been in church. And so we start to live in this. Now, as you start to do that, you're going to get into all sorts of trouble. Because as you break bread, as you worship, your friends are going to start coming in. And I promise you what's going to happen sometime, a demon is going to manifest. Because they're in the presence of God. And so this, when we planted the church in Southend, this used to happen all the time. You know, and so what, so all this is happening. You're going, oh, I'm just the baker. I don't know what to do with demons. I haven't done that class yet. I'm on chocolate cake, coconut cake. We haven't done the demon class yet, okay? So what you do is you get on the phone to the, you call the elders. That's what the elders were for in the Bible. I'm not sure, I don't think eldership is governmental. I think they were elders in the faith. So they knew what to do. So you get on the phone. This would happen in Southend. We got one. You got one what? A demon. It won't come out. We don't want to do. Someone's got to get around here. You got to get around here and cast it out. So you, in the midst of worshiping, eating, you've now got someone getting free from their sin or their sickness. So the elders come round and they pray. And you watch what they do. And it only has to happen a few times. And then you go, oh, I can do that. Is that all you have to do? And then you do it. And you're now an elder. Because you're elder than them in the faith. Does this make sense? Because we're growing up in the faith. You don't look convinced. It's not just meant to happen here. It's meant to happen wherever you are because you are temples. You carry the presence of God. In fact, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now in you. You've got to be careful around graveyards. I mean it. I mean that. Do you remember if even Peter's shadow fell on over people, they were healed. We're rediscovering this. Look, if you don't believe me, Mary and Martha, they had people around all the time. That's where it was happening. That's why, you know, Martha's getting irritated with Mary. She says, I'm doing all the cooking. Mary, come on, come and help. This was their normal life. Priscilla and Aquila, they invite Apollos to their home in Ephesus. And he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. It's really interesting. In the New Testament, they gather around presence, not Bible study. Now, they do instruct, but the primary reason for gathering is to eat and the presence, because God is in their homes. Lydia, she invites Paul and Silas into her home at Thyatira. Romans says this, practice hospitality. Hospitality is a gift of the Holy Spirit as much as casting demons out is. These are all superstars of the Bible. Philip in Caesarea. Publius in Malta, Gaius, Philemon, they all opened up their homes and God started to move. You see, our homes are temples because we live there. Because we're there. Every morning you're waking up, good morning, Holy Spirit. Every night you're going to sleep, Lord, thank you for the day. You're there in your home, so the presence of God is there, just as he's here. So when people walk into your home, you know, when Amazon guy walks into your home, you should go, what is it about this place? This feels different. This is different. You know, when the pizza delivery guy comes, this is different. Now, probably because you tip better than anyone else. Because again, it's eating in gladness as well. The pizza guy wants to come to your house because Christians live there, because God is there. His goodness is there. What am I trying to say to you? We've run out of time. When the Holy Spirit moves in power, he changes every area of our life. Church life must spill into every area of our lives. Sunday must spill into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then Sunday, we come back together and tell the stories. It is in the smaller gatherings we tend to become disciples, because we get our hands on and we get to do whatever Jesus is leading us to do. It is the practice of gladness that attracts the presence of God, okay? It is our gladness of God that attracts his presence. And there are many people who will never pass this building and know the presence of God is here, but they will pass your home, and they will pass you in the restaurant, and they will pass you when you're out. And as they experience an encounter with God, as you welcome his presence, everything changes in their life. And that's why the Lord added to their number daily. I'm done. Why don't you stand up?